On this week's Big Tech Show, you might not think it could happen to you, but our guest this week explains how a significant number of Irish people may be falling victim to romance frauds online.
Victims can feel a misplaced sense of shame. People can blame themselves. They feel embarrassed, and so they don't want to tell family, friends. They don't want to report it to the police. In some cases, of course, the victims are already in relationships. They're married. They have an extra reason to keep that quiet.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarrachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach anseo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintear féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam ag gnám go raibh orthcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tarin grúvan ar cairstan i lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin éachar. Nau ni vin aún dar darach sa sin. Vin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Have you enough there to get you through the three games to have matches that you're only going to have maybe sort of 8 or 9 performers, you know, giving you 8 or 9 out of 10, and so, to be able to slot players in to bring it up to the level? That's where, you know, it plays out. And as I say, that's where these teams can struggle. But you listen, they'll not worry about that. Everyone's just looking at the next game, as they say, and that's the great thing about this weekend. Everyone will think, every team will think that they're going into the weekend now that they can win the game.
We wanted jeopardy in the football championship, and we have certainly received it. Mayo dumped Connacht rivals Galway out of the All-Ireland race in dramatic fashion in Salthill yesterday, while this morning's quarter-final draw threw up two heavyweight clashes, with Dublin taking on Kevin McSay's side, while Kerry and Tyrone will go head-to-head once again. As well as that, Cork and Monaghan advanced to the last 8 after dramatic 1-point wins to set us up for a thrilling 2 days of football this coming weekend in Croke Park. All that means we have plenty to discuss on today's episode of the Throw-In Football Show. Will Slattery here with you, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dick Clerken and Colm Keyes for our chat. And Dick, we'll dig into the matches in more detail in a minute. But first, the draw today. You know, we couldn't have asked for a more mouth-watering selection of games. Obviously, the two big matches I referred to, but also Monaghan Armagh, Cork Derry as well. What did you make of it all?
Listen, between the last 2 weekends and what's coming ahead of us now in the next 6 days, I think, probably all our doomsday predictions around the new format are in the bin now, and everyone in Croke Park is rubbing their hands, proving to be right, because it's been electric. And you know, you're just so getting over what happened at the weekend and the weekend before, the next thing you're heading into these clashes, and each in their own have their own sort of intrigue, and there's backstories, there's history. It's not random pairings that they're novel. There's plenty there in each of them to get around. And listen, it's great. I'm just raging. I'm getting on a plane to Italy in the morning. I'm going to miss them all. And as I'll have to try and find a way to dial into them. But listen, I think they're just fantastic. And as each in their own, there's a show to cut into each of them. Never mind trying to look for them. Well, you know.
Yeah, having a draw on Monday morning at 8:30 on the radio isn't the most traditional way to reveal your marquee pairings, but there's something about it that kind of, you know, you digest it on the Sunday and you're up early in the morning, Monday morning, and to see what's going to unfold.
I know, the only problem is, like, I'm sure Colm's the same, it sort of makes a journalist or a writer's life a bit of a misery, because you write a column on a Sunday evening and it's almost defunct by the time you come to Monday morning if you haven't taken into account the draws. That's all everyone's talking about now. It's almost the weekend's nearly forgotten about. I know we'll talk about the games, but everyone's immediately looking ahead to next weekend and sort of wetting their lips.
I think that's probably one of the real, a lot of people complain that, you know, Monday morning is too late for all of this, and why is it not straight after the last game on a Sunday evening, or on the Sunday game on a Sunday night? You'd make far more to it, but everything is so compressed now. You need a little degree of separation. You have to allow last weekend's action, Mayo and Galway, to breathe. If you were suddenly putting Dublin and Mayo into the equation, Mayo Galway is suddenly forgotten about. There's no reflection on it. There's no analysis of it. It obviously doesn't suit everybody, and teams would like to do, but Mayo know already it's a Sunday afternoon fixture. They have you know, they're going to be given the 7 days to repair. They have to travel up to Dublin, obviously, on a Saturday. They're going to be given an extra day, but there has to be a degree of separation because this championship moves so fast. So we're talking about it Monday morning. It's all the conversation now. I think there's probably a bit of logic, even if the fixtures are out there and everybody knew, but I'm sure counties and team managers already have a fair indication of what's coming and when.
Yeah, I don't want to wait. I think, just to touch on Colm's point, like, and we've always sort of said at this stage, let's get through the whole thing, the whole structure first, and then see can it be tweaked. I think if you were going to lob in an extra week to try and stretch it out, I think, you know, there's a strong argument between the preliminaries and the quarterfinal would merit an extra week. As you say, Colm, just to allow everything to digest, give a break, because you're into proper knockout territory now, and it would just give such a profile, because, you know, these games, Jesus, look at the amount of writing and marketing and exposure potential there is against one of these games, never mind four, and we have to squeeze it all into 4 or 5 days. But yeah, I think maybe that's something that would be better
for everybody. Dick, the extra week, as we call it, was discussed at a provincial roadshow. There was all the counties were invited to for provincial meetings a couple of weeks back, where all of this was discussed, and the extra week did come up, and there obviously will be a lot of counties that will support it. But
yeah.
I spoke to Kevin O'Donovan that week, who's the Cork secretary, Cork chief executive. And he says the extra week already applied this year. And you can see his logic from his point of view. Mm-hmm. They have the biggest schedule, dual county, obviously a big dual county. And his point is, you know, we already are stretched. We can't afford another week. So you have to listen to their point of view as well on the discussion around an extra week. And the question he puts about all of this is, do you want to be playing the majority of players playing as daylight decreases and you're playing under floodlights and on wet pitches. So you want the majority of your players at least playing at some stage in the summer. And if you move it an extra week, they're pushing everything back. And they have a very complex championship with so many clubs. So there is another side to that argument that you have to respect.
There always is.
So we've got a Mayo Galway then, Colin, the massive game in Saltill yesterday. I know you were there. Like at halftime, 8-3, Galway looked in a good position, but 15 minutes after half time, it had been turned on its head. Like, why do you think Mayo were able to wrestle back that momentum and ultimately kick on and win the game?
One simple word, or perhaps two, well, the wind. Salthill, the notorious wind that blows through Salthill. It's like no other ground. If you were ranking wind venues, you'd have it at the top every time. And it can spoil a game, but it also defines a game. Galway did not, for the strength of the wind, they did not go in with a sufficient cushion there. 5 points was enough for Mayo to go out and attack them straight away. They left a lot of scores out there in the first half. Obviously, Shane Walsh with 4 wides. Had they been even 7, 8, it's a bit more of a stretch for Mayo to really get at. And obviously, the goal was pivotal, scored by a really progressive fullback. And once that went in, 43, 44 minutes, that was the momentum was with Mayo. I thought they made very hard work of it after that. I thought Galway played some of their best football when their backs were to the wall, and some of their players around the middle third, Paul Conroy and Peter Cook and John Maher, really Killian McDade, really drove them and asked a lot of questions of a Mayo team that had the advantage of those elements to their back. But it really does, really can influence a game. It really can in Salthill when the wind blows as hard as it did, and Galway were never ahead by enough at half time.
Dick, what was your perspective on the second half? Would you agree with Colm?
And then it was funny. There was ones on the radio. My dad landed the house and he was listening to the radio and made no reference to the wind. Whereas actually, you know, watching on the TV, it was obvious. And having been there a few times myself, playing and watching, it is. And listen, I think Pádraig Joyce, I'd say he's just going to have a winter of regret in the case of what might have been. I got the sense that they were sort of building something over the year. And but just when you look back of the last 2 weeks, it seems that between injuries and players that you are expecting to come up to their milk and hit form at the right time as the ground hardened, the likes of Shane Walsh, Killian McDade, boys like that, just didn't, and it just was the difference. Like when you think of the fine margins between the two teams, like, and I know he's coming under criticism, and that's what comes with being one of the top players in the country. Shane Walsh just had a very, not just an off day, a very, very off day, and that's going to be really tough for him and for the Galway fans and Pádraig Joyce, because he just know that they've left an opportunity behind them, because they are and were a better team than they've showed, not just yesterday, but even going back to Carrick and Shannon when they left that. They probably, as we said last week in the podcast, they shouldn't have been in that position yesterday, nor should have Mayo, and one team was really going to suffer, and that's Galway. And I think, listen, it's took a shot in the arm, because it's taken out a big team for all the other sort of pretenders next weekend. And so I think Pádraig Joyce, it'll be a tough winter for them, because they were building something and now they have to not start again. They're going to be coming into 2024 very strong. I say the young panel, but they're out of the picture, and Mayo have, you know, they're supercharged again. And as I said that last weekend, whatever team comes out of Galway or come out of Salt Hill, they are right back up there because of the bounce that they'll get and the positivity. And you could see that in the Mayo players. You could see that in Kevin McStay's reaction post-match. He knew the cliff edge that they were on, but now they've been pulling themselves back. They're right back in the picture.
Colin, you mentioned Shane Walsh there. It wasn't just an off day, Dick. It's been an off season, yeah. Really. He was laid back.
We were hoping,
the league, and you're always waiting for him to go through a gap. He never really went for a gap. A couple of big moments against Tyrone and moments here and there, but he has set very high standards for himself after last year when people felt, well, finally he has realised the talent that he has. But slow back after the league, went away obviously after the Kilmacud win in the All-Ireland Club Championship. He wasn't back till late. The season was already up and running. And you always felt he was playing catch-up after that. And there'll be inevitable comparisons with David Clifford, who is having another extraordinary season so far. And those comparisons, because of last year's All-Ireland final, will be there. And they are high standards that have been set for him. And obviously Clifford lives up to them almost every day he goes out. So it's difficult. But I also would factor in Damien Comer was off the pitch for the second half yesterday as well. Such a focal point. You can throw any ball in at Damien Comer. Yesterday proved it. When they had the win, they banged it into him over the top. They did a lot of damage over the top. He could have had a goal at one stage, a snapshot that Colm Reap saved, but he did a lot of damage there. And had they him in the second half, I feel they just might have got over the line. Maybe now Mayo would have pushed on to go and win it, and they would have expanded a bit more, you know, with the backing of that wind, and, you know, only 5 points behind when Comer had been on the field. But I just feel he brings an edge and an ability to win ball that few other players can do. And ball generally inside will stick when Comer is there. So big loss. And obviously Sean Kelly, who's a huge leader for Galway.
Yeah.
He didn't look right walking around. Running around the pitch. He was walking some of them, but he didn't just look at his ease. Yet he made some timely interventions attacking, but the player that he is, and we know he is, but it was obviously Galway felt it was important for him to be on the field, and he was only a percentage of fitness, shall we say.
And still nearly, like, and it's just the small margins, I'd say, Pádraig Joyce, going back to that, like you wrap the impact of you mentioned three players, so Walsh, Comer, Sean Kelly, and let's be fair, Killian McDay just didn't get up to the heights of last year. Like, he was a colossus for Galway in the latter stages last year, and just wasn't able to get up to those heights again. Probably struggled to find what was his best position. You know, 1 point, they'll always be a point, and you wrap up the collective impact of those four players that were arguably, between injuries and one thing another, you know, 20, 30, 40% back on last year. And that is ultimately the difference. And we've said that. We've said that with the new season, you know, between getting form and injuries is going to have a big deciding impact, and being able to keep your best players out on the pitch is going to bring things down to the wire. And then just Galway, unfortunately, couldn't, even with the panel that they had.
Yeah, and you go back to Carrick and Shannon and those sliding doors when Tyrone, nobody would have expected Westmead to latch on to the coattails of Tyrone in Breffni Park, and Galway just didn't manage those last few minutes very well, and it changed everything, because had they 2 weeks going into an All-Ireland quarter-final this weekend, Comer and Kelly get 2 weeks
Yeah.
To right themselves. Kelly was almost there, obviously. Yeah. Another week. You imagine what another week does for him, does for Comer, and they're fresh going in. It's a completely, right. In those couple of minutes at the end of last Sunday, changed everything. Really did change the complexion of the All Ireland.
That's it. Yeah.
Dick, and we were calling Mayo the big losers last Monday, Dick, after you know how it broke for them. Now you could probably say they've had the two most impressive victories of the championship, beating Galway and then beating Kerry, you know, about a month or so ago and beating them pretty comprehensively. Are they now right back up at the top of the contenders list? But obviously drawing Dublin now, that shows, you know, the kind of the punishment of getting into the preliminary. They didn't have a good quarterfinal draw now. Like, where do you kind of put them in the pecking order?
Absolutely. And I said this, like whoever came out of Galway or Salt Hill yesterday was going to be right up there. If Galway had have edged it, even with all that, they'd have been right back up there. But the problem is it came at the expense of one top team. So Galway or Mayo, 100%, they're back up there. And as well, looking how Cork have done, you know, we sort of give Mayo a hard time because we felt they should have really comfortably beaten a Cork team, which, you know, we were just thinking we're coming out of nowhere. But the more Cork play, the more substance there is around them. And I suppose you have to give Mayo, it's not a bit of a pass, but weigh that defeat to Cork in a different light. Now the fact that Cork have gone on and followed that up with an impressive win against Roscommon, that it shows that they're a real team. And so Mayo's really only dip, if you've ever been honest, this year is that sort of last 10, 15 minutes against Cork. That aside, they've been probably one of the most consistent and impressive counties through the league, through the championship this year. And they dipped out of Connacht, but that didn't really faze them. They bounced back immediately from that. And, you know, as Kevin McSay, they're building a panel. They're going to need it still because they're still only at the quarterfinal stage. But listen, they're finding players. There's look at young David O'Brien, McBrien popped up yesterday, a new name on the lips of Mayo supporters, and everyone around is trying to sort of catch up with all these new faces of Mayo that are all adding value, and the older players playing. So 100%. And they're probably getting, and we'll get to the quarterfinals in a minute, they're probably getting Dublin at the right time, I would say, if they're going to take Dublin out, because Dublin still have a bit to go. You know, they haven't done enough, I feel, against good opposition to be really sure of where they're at. Whereas Mayo, like, and they've played Kerry, beaten Kerry well, they've played Galway away and beaten them. So they've enough credit in the bank to be a wee bit more sure about them. But as the old saying goes, can you ever trust Mayo? And that's the problem with them, you know.
And the other factor is, Dick, I'd say of all eight quarterfinalists, Mayo are probably most uncertain about what their starting team are. Mm. To a degree, Dublin are too, because obviously there's the Jack McCaffrey and Paul Mannion factor that they're not quite, they've been in and out of the team a little bit. McCaffrey's obviously hasn't been fully fit all of the time. But with Mayo, four personnel changes yesterday. Kevin McLaughlin and Jason Doherty. Kevin McLaughlin comes back in for his first start since last year, first championship start. Mm-hmm. You've Conor Loftus, who was the pivot and very much part of the new management's thinking to put him at number six from the very outset of the season and let him open up to the field with his kicking ability. That was ditched in Galway yesterday. I won't say they reverted the type, but they went back to a different system. Conor Loftus didn't even come on. So from being the pivotal defensive linchpin, shall we say, at centre-back, he doesn't feature at all. So a lot of changes in the Mayo team, and a lot of, you know, Matthew Ruan has dropped yesterday. I found that surprising. He didn't have a very good game against Cork, and he probably dipped a little bit against Loud too, for sure. But he was very good against Kerry, and he seems to play well against some of the better teams. Obviously, didn't go great in the All-Ireland final in 2021. But I would have felt that's a bit of a surprise. So I would expect him, I think, to come back in. You don't really know. Will Killian O'Connor feature? He's back in the mix here as well. So of all the teams, I think Mayo are league champions and they've come through, you know, tough qualifier with Kerry and now Galway. And yet, what is their best team? That's a real conundrum this week.
It is a bit, but it's a very good way for a panel. Once it's managed right, and this is where Kevin McStay is so pivotal, that when you have a really competitive panel, that the boys, when they're going to train, they're playing games, know that there's nobody is certain of their starting place. Every jersey has to be earned. Sometimes that is the case, but managers buckle. They they sort of bow to the more experienced players and they're afraid to make the big calls and they keep rolling out players. Kevin McStay has shown that's not what he's about. He's playing the best players, and if you're not, and that keeps everyone on their toes. So like, you know, Matt Uran, like, what a guy to bring on the bench if he's not starting. But equally, he'll be pushing, you know, the likes of, as you mentioned, McLaughlin and Doherty. They came back in to get the start. They'll know that there's you know, any dip at all, even 20, 25 minutes in the game against Dublin, if they're not, you know, the work rate's not there, there's five or six boys there to come in and take their place. So that's a really good way to have a panel to keep everybody chomping at the bit and keep, you know, everyone pushing everyone once it's managed right. And by all accounts, it looks like Kevin McStay has got it right so far. And
of course, you look at Derry, which is the complete opposite. Derry have such a limit. You just know straight away 14 of the 15 Derry starters every time. There might be one floating position around attack, and they've used so few players. I find it staggering. They went through the Ulster final over 100 minutes, almost 100 minutes, and they used 18 players. That's the other side of the coin. I just wonder that as the games intensify, will that catch Derry out? Because 1 to 15, they are as strong as any team really that's left in it, the way they have set themselves up. But beyond that, you wonder, can they sustain it?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with that. I'd put Mon in that bracket as well, just with a thin panel in terms of quality. Yeah. And as I say, you're talking now, you have to talk about teams not winning a game, it's winning three games. Have you enough there to get you through the three games to have matches that you're only going to have maybe sort of 8 or 9 performers, you know, giving you 8 or 9 out of 10, and so, to be able to slot players in to bring it up to the level? That's where, you know, it plays out. And as I say, that's where these teams can struggle. But you listen, they'll not worry about that. Everyone's just looking at the next game, as they say, and everyone, and that's the great thing about this weekend. Everyone will think, every team will think that they're going into the weekend now that they can win the game. You know, and there's been plenty of quarterfinals, even in the old structures, if you remember back, those teams sort of fumbled through the qualifiers and stuff, and you just knew that there was going to be a hockeying match in some of these quarterfinals, and there was only one or two of them were good. All of these four games, you know, would be a good one to call them, you know.
So actually, all Ireland champions have lost more at quarterfinal stage than in any other stage. Yeah, you remember back, Donegal got a hammering from Mayo in 2013, and in 2011, Cork were taken out by Mayo, and even Kerry have lost quarterfinals to they lost it Down in 2010. So it is a stage of the competition where you can, you know, they're, what you expect doesn't always manifest. If you remember the 2009 Kerry in Dublin quarterfinal on Bank Holiday, nobody saw that Kerry performance coming, as much as they didn't see such a poor Dublin quarterfinal performance coming either. So strange things can happen.
That's the last quarterfinal that Dublin have lost. I think they've been in the semifinals every year since, which is, 13 years maybe? So it would be a big kind of scalp if Mayo took them out at this stage. Dick, we haven't touched on Monaghan yet. I'm sure you was eagerly waiting for us to circle back to that. Like, I know you don't like when people say, the great escape from Monaghan, but, you know, they beat Tyrone last second. They beat Kildare last second. They got a draw against Derry the last second. There is this unbelievable spirit about them that everyone buys into. It was great. It was great, again, to see them write another chapter in that lengthy storybook.
Yeah, whatever. But other years, this year alone, as you say, you reel them off. And it was, and I'd say for Monaghan people in Tullamore, and not to overstate it, it was a very historic day, and more so with the minors. Like, I know sometimes the minor football sort of is a sort of an afterthought, but like, it, at the end of the day, you know, Monaghan beat Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final. That's the first time a Monaghan team have beaten Kerry in championship football at any grade in the history of the association. Like, that's a massive milestone for the county. We were talking in Monaghan at the minute, trying to build something to win All Irelands, and you need to start doing that at the underage levels and competing and believing. So it was a massive shot in the arm for the county and the senior team going in, because I would have been actually tipping, if I was being honest, I would have been tipping Kildare. I wasn't confident about the senior team, because I know they're sort of a very thin panel, and the older players there that you just don't know what you're going to get. Because of that happens, but yet in the second game, the older players stepped up again, which you can't always count on at this time of the year, because, you know, the energy levels and all the rest. And it was just, it wasn't a great game, let's be honest. From if you've been completely objective, there's a lot of poor play by both teams. It was hard to watch. I would put more of that down to Kildare. I think Kildare were far too defensive. They played 15 men behind the ball. I didn't know why. They gave the ball to Monaghan for long periods of the time. And when Kildare had the ball, they were far more efficient. They looked far more dangerous. They just didn't have the ball long enough. And then when the game was there to be won, in the last sort of 4 or 5 minutes, it was Monaghan that took the game to Kildare. And on that basis alone, they deserved it because they were pushing for the win. And yeah, Glenn Ryan was sore about referee and says the referee didn't have a good day. And we don't like to criticise. He'll reflect on that. There was a lot of inconsistency. But for both teams, I actually felt up until those maybe last couple of calls, Monaghan were more harshly treated. So I certainly, Glenn Ryan cannot be blaming the referee for that. He made decisions tactically that cost Kildare. I think it's a bit of a cop-out, to be honest, that you're blaming the referee in this one.
Yeah, Colin,
I don't know how you can say anything that they're not a great escapologist, Monaghan, because they're doing it consistently. If you look at how they survived in the league, if you look at the Galway game in 2021, the last minute kicks from Jack McCarron and Conor McManus for extra time in the win, and last year against Dublin, it's happening. I don't know, is there another team that comes up with last minute plays like them to get results? So
it is
a trait that follows all the time. It is.
Probably Dublin, if you were to say, like Dublin, you know, when they're at their best, edged out a lot of close games, a lot against Mayo with sort of scores at the end and took a game when it was there to be won. They stepped up and pushed over the line, and Monaghan have done that. And it's a great trait to have. And again, it's just sort of embedded in a few of those players now that and they don't get phased. And I suppose that the style of play that they have is awful to watch. Like, God, we were sitting in the stand at times and it was just painful to watch. But they're comfortable in their own skin. They don't get phased. You know, they run through the phases, and then they have line breakers and finishers and the likes of Jack, Conor McCarthy, Carl O'Connell, Darren. And they're biding their time to try and get them into the right position. And when they do, as they've shown time and time again, you can trust them to kick those either clutch scores or clutch plays. You know, breaking line, getting a free, winning the mark. If you actually look at each of Monaghan's scores over the last 10, 15 minutes, they're all manufactured in a sort of a slightly different way. And you know, collectively it got them over the line. They didn't have to rely on one player to take them out. It was just a real collective effort, and that's what it has been to date. And it's what the Miners was. It was a real collective effort. I don't know if any of you have seen it or watched it. So I would have felt the Kerry Miner team, player for player, were probably better players than the Monaghan. You could probably imagine all those Kerry Miners probably lording it in midfield for their respective clubs, but they looked more like a team of good individuals, whereas the Monaghan team were very structured, very disciplined, and played like a team. And that's what was the difference in the end. And that's probably just Monaghan football at the minute. It's the collective effort that is getting them where they are, and they're just a credit. And it was a hugely proud day for everybody associated with Monaghan, and it was just a great day.
Sets them up with a very, you know, winnable on paper game against Armagh. Yeah. It'll be very, you know, kind of keenly contested. Colin, where would you put Tyrone now going into this game against Kerry? It's funny, like, part of me when I saw the draw, I thought, oh, maybe Tyrone coming into a bit of form after the weekend. And then I remembered they were a kick of a ball away against Westmeath the week before of being dumped out. Would you give them a good chance of upsetting Kerry, or where do you kind of put them?
I can smell the fear in Kerry already, Will. I could actually get it yesterday in advance of the draw that they were so certain that Tyrone were coming down the tracks. Now, that's Kerry people in general. I think the players will have a different view of this. I think the Kerry players will feel they left 2021 behind them and the events around that. Revenge is a great factor in this. David Clifford was off the pitch for extra time, if you recall. David Morn was off for extra time as well, and he had been dominant, and Kerry needed him, and they don't have him obviously anymore. And the one area where, not one area, but an area where Tyrone are really, really generating strength is through the Con Kilpatrick-Brian Kennedy midfield partnership. They are right up there now, and I would have had maybe misgivings about them 2 years ago. I think they've really improved, they continue to improve, and they're right up there with any midfield pairing. They are physical, they are strong. You look at Con Kilpatrick's point, how he broke through from midfield at the end of the Donegal game last Sunday. And last Saturday, he's been a really, really strong player for them. Conor Myler looks to be coming back into a bit of form. If you remember his one-to-one head-to-head with Paddy Clifford in that game 2 years ago. So there's a lot of variables here. I don't feel Kerry have been going as well but nothing like this game to illuminate them. They obviously, they beat Louth very convincingly the last day, and there looked to be more energy in them. And they probably have had, you know, less path to travel through Munster and the qualifiers, even though Monaghan knocked Tyrone out early. So I feel Kerry are coming into this probably at the right time with that element of revenge from 2 years ago. If they know the consequences of losing to Tyrone here, that even last year's All-Ireland success will come back into question in some way, that there's so much at stake for this, that all the chips now are into this basket. Darragh Canavan going so well for Tyrone. You know, you question who's going to pick Darragh Canavan up. And they also have Darren McCurry. It was Tom O'Sullivan 2 years ago, and he did a great job on Darren McCurry. But who picks up Canavan now, who really is in superb form here? And there's also the factor of his brother got a goal, Rory Canavan. What does Croke Park bring out in him? So there's a lot of factors pointing in both teams' favours in certain ways. Obviously, Tyrone they've had a psychological edge at times. Not always. Obviously, Kerry have beaten them in two All-Ireland semi-finals, 2015 and 2019. And a lot of current Kerry team were playing that day in 2019, including David Clifford, who always seems to play well against them, even in league. So a lot to obviously a great fixture. Great fixture, first of all. Hugely competitive. But I think Kerry will be really, really on edge over this.
Yeah.
There's Jack O'Connor as well, who, you know, I don't think he's ever beaten Tyrone in Croke Park. Yeah. And obviously, a long time ago since he played them in Croke Park. But that's like another kind of element that I'm sure he would love to kind of write that wrong. Dick, how are you kind of looking at the game?
Yeah, I sort of half wrote Tyrone off. And I still, in terms of the All-Ireland, I just don't. I think they've still too much ground to make up. But at the same time, as Colm said, they are making that ground up. Like, they are. I would have had question marks over their midfield. I thought they were sort of, you know, they came out of nowhere to win an All-Ireland, and I just struggled to see. But they've improved, you know, physically, very imposing. Like, and I would almost, at this stage, I would say they've a better midfield than Kerry, from what we've seen, who still, you know, are still probably going to bemoan the impact and the presence of David Moore. And so that's one area that Tyrone can look, and that's a pivotal area in the game at the minute in terms of how teams now push up on kickouts, and then you're going to have to contest. So I think that's an area that Tyrone will exploit. The two Canavans, not just one, there's two now, and, you know, whatever, but having to manage one Canavan, two, and they're improving. Like, Dara, let's be honest, for the last two or three years, he's sort of played in fits and spurts, and you know, at times he wasn't the most reliable. Now he is becoming that marquee forward, and he's 23 now, and he's probably like a lot of players, just needed those two or three years conditioning and playing at the senior level to be able to roll with the punches and have the physicality and athleticism to display his skill set. And that's the problem. A lot of young players come in with bags of skill and talent, but they just can't get into the game and last the pace. He's doing that now, and the other boy is coming hot on his heels. The only thing is, for Croke Park, you look at the two Canavans and Darren McCurry, that's their three sort of corner forwards, marquee forwards. Can the modern game really sort of rely on that when you need the work rate? Like, and that's what won Tyrone the All-Ireland against the head a couple of years ago, just that tenacity, that work rate, that, you know, that typical Tyrone spirit. That's not what those players, they will work as hard as they can, but those players need their energy for ball in hand and that. And I just wonder, and it'd be interesting to see how the Tyrone management, you know, deploy their forward line to get that balance right, because they're going to need that work rate. They're going to need that intensity around the middle to try and stifle Kerry and not let them get the ball into David Clifford. And that's call a spade, that's what's down to Kerry. If Kerry can get him on the ball and let him dictate the play, both through scoring and what he contributes to the other players. And I think that's one of the things that I think gets understated an awful lot. And I'd love to, if we had better stats in Gaelic football, you get a sense of what actually David sets up for other players in terms of assists, as much as he actually scores. And I'd say you probably find it's nearly par, you know, score for score. You know, they get the ball in his hands one way or another, Kerry win the game. If Tyrone find a way to, you know, starve Kerry of possession or smother Clifford out, don't rule out another Tyrone surprise victory. And as I said, but here, great fixture. Jack O'Connor will have to be sort of relishing the opportunity to get one back of the pain that he suffered. And equally, the Kerry players who still are probably sore after that defeat a couple of years ago, the opportunity to turn that on its head against largely the same panel of Tyrone players. So, you know, for me, it's probably the fixture, the round of the weekend. I know Dublin and Mayo's his own intrigue, but I think Kerry and Tyrone, because of the All-Ireland credentials that both teams have, I think that to me that's the fixture of the round, aside from Monaghan and Armagh, obviously.
Just the Clifford matchup for Tyrone is obviously interesting. It was McNamee. Ronan McNamee picked him up in the two previous championship games. In the last league games, it's been Padraig Hamsey, who's much more likely to be his shadow this time. So that could provide a different dynamic. Hamsey might be just more equipped than McNamee was in those games, I would sense.
Yeah.
But Clifford always finds a way when he has to. There's rarely been a time when he hasn't.
Set up to be an absolute cracker, as Dick said. The last team to win over the weekend, Dick, was Cork, another 1-point win. It's been an interesting year for the, you know, league campaign, you know, pretty disappointing. Lost to Louth, lost at home to Meath, then lost to Clare in the provincial championships. But, you know, after getting that great win over Mayo, they backed it up at home, and it was a topsy-turvy game. It came down to Roscommon, you know, kind of fouling the ball at the end, but they got the 1-point win. Derry, which as the draw, you know, they could have gotten maybe a Dublin potentially. Like, it's not an easy game by any means, but it's probably one they go in thinking they might be able to win.
Yeah, and a tough one for Derry. There's a bit of an unknown there because they're coming to the team, they'll be looking at players and listen, who are these guys? Who are these guys coming out of Cork? And everyone's probably at the same that they've just sort of announced themselves with successive impressive victories over the last number of weeks. And that was an impressive win against Roscommon, who, let's be honest, Roscommon were a damn good team, and they'll be very disappointed they lost that. And they take great heart, and it was great, you know, whatever about the game, it was great to see the Cork supporters come out and cheer them on. There was a great atmosphere in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, which is not what the footballers get, and I've said it often and often, it's great to see, and that will build now because it's the only Cork team left for them to support. So I'm expecting them to come up the road and to be a great atmosphere, and it's a credit to John Cleary. And as I say, we know there's talent, and it's a truism because they're coming through at underage level. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, what Cork need and what this panel played, they need games, they need consistency, they need momentum, that they're getting experience, they're getting confidence, you're getting players that, you know, I always say, when they used to say to young players when they're coming through in Monaghan, I says, you know, stick around long enough and you'll get your opportunity, and next thing you'll put in a big performance in a championship game that almost locks you in. I remember Drew Wiley, and I'm going off on a tangent. Drew Wiley was knocking around in the Parliament panel for 2 or 3 years, and he was sort of in and out, and he could have been a lot of players that drifted away. And then we played down in 2011. We were beaten in an Ulster semi-final. We threw away a big lead, but Drew was outstanding. And that game locked Drew in for a county panel for the next 10 years. And that's what the last couple of games will have done for some of these Cork. They're not just a bench player. They're not just a panel player. They're now a championship player. And they're locking that in, and they're bringing it on to the next game. And whether they get through Derry or not, they'll be back again next year. And that's what the new structure has done. It's given that panel players an opportunity to build something. And they're going up, and they will have no fear, absolutely no fear, because, you know, whatever, but, you know, inferiority complex, Cork people don't have that. No fear of Derry. And there's the makings of a really intriguing contest, because it'll be a difficult one for Cork to unpick, because Derry have a very structured approach. But again, like all the games, great intrigue, and I wouldn't just be, you know, too quick to call that one either.
Yeah, it's the first championship meeting between the teams since the 1993 All-Ireland final as well. So there's not recent form lines to go off in terms of, you know, previous meetings. Albeit they would have played in the league. Yeah, would have played in the league this year. Colin, we might finish up just quickly on the Tailteann Cup. Obviously, the semi-finals were played on Sunday. Obviously, the Galway Mayo game overshadowed them. But, you know, Meath Antrim was a very competitive game. Meath winning by a couple of points, obviously substantially less so, and down Leash, like down 8-16 to 2-12 is a, you know, unusual scoreline to say the least in Gaelic football. What did you make of the semi-finals?
Well, I saw the second half of the Cavan Down game the previous week, and I was really impressed with the pace and counter-attacking of Down. I think they've made significant progress. Obviously, Meath and Down met in the last round of their group game in Parnell Park, but Parnell Park is such a different playing experience than Croke Park, and I feel Down really came alive yesterday in Croke Park, and they have been building something, obviously, through Conor Laverty. The big thing is their pace. Liam Kerr, the Johnsons, really, really quick players. And then they've Oren Murdoch off their under 20 team as well. He plays midfield, but he drifts into full forward. He's a big player, but he makes great decisions. He's really skillful for a big man, really skillful. Intelligence of his decisions. He just plays ball. He gifts players around him the ball in a way that you're just not expecting. I think he's a real bonus this year to Down in the championship. Obviously, he was playing with them sporadically during the he played with them during the league as well. But obviously, there was a focus on the under-20s. But since then, he's really pushed on in this Tadhg Cup. And I felt Meath had a lot to do. They had to hold their nerve down the home straight. They were 7 or 8 points up. And they had to hold their nerve against a well-organized Antrim team. I really only saw the first half of that game, and it looked a really poor standard, I have to say. I haven't seen Meath play Wexford the week before. They were a lot better, but you have to factor in the opposition here. I think Down will have the upper hand here because of that pace. But I think it's a good way for Meath to go in. And the extra 3 weeks, it'll really keep those two teams together for another 3 weeks. Will be invaluable when it comes to next year as well. And they both bring a bit of pace and mobility, but I feel Downs just will have that greater edge.
Are Down a coming team in Ulster, do you think? You know, getting Conor Laverty in and the Kilku players maybe back more involved than they would have been previously?
Yeah, well, that was needed in Down. Like a lot of the big counties and Derry before them who weren't able to knit together a county setup, that's what they had to do. They had to have talent. Like Down is a massively passionate football county with great clubs, but they just weren't coming together. And there was an angst around Kilku and Ferns O'Connor's knitted that together, and there is that young talent coming through as well, and they're playing with pace and a bit of that Down swagger. You could see the way they were throwing the ball around against Laois in the game, and they really enjoyed themselves. Now it's hard to really gauge, like Laois, it was fairly feeble stuff now from them in terms of defence. But that being said, like going back, like they had a big win against Donegal in the championship. It was a bad day against Armagh. They could have possibly turned Armagh over in a semi-final, a better day. I think they looked like players that like a dry ball, that they like Croke Park, they like the space. The Kilku boys that have been up there and not afraid to express themselves in Croke Park. And again, whoever comes out of it will rightly play in the All-Ireland Series next year. I think that's the good thing about the new system. I think there's a reward and a recognition of that journey, but also like Down, you know, albeit against maybe lesser opposition, certainly don't look like a team that would be out of place in the company that we've seen at the top tier over the last 3 and 4 weeks. And they'll rightly, whoever comes out of it, will rightly take their place there. So I think it's a great shot in the arm, nice traditional feel, Down Meath final in Croke Park. And again, it's another great year two for the Tadhg Cup.
Yeah, well, an interesting game to look forward to in a few weeks. In the meantime, we have those cracking quarterfinals next weekend. But for the moment, I'd like to thank Dick and Colin for joining me on this week's episode of the Throne Football Show. We'll be back next week with another episode looking back on the last 8. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.